If the political subdivision is a county, then the bill simply specifies that the proceeds shall be used for criminal justice services, and then lists some examples of those things, but the list is in terms of including enforcement and prosecution and so forth. So my reading of that language would be that the political subdivision could make its determination of what constituted a criminal justice service. If it wanted to stretch that and define it to include meth lab cleanup costs, I guess it could.
Where in the bill do you find that language?
It's on page 19, section 10, subsection 1C. With respect to cities, I believe they could follow the same kind of analysis, and if they chose to spend some of their forfeiture proceeds on meth lab cleanup, they could do so.
Would it be helpful in terms of directing some future county which had a question about whether this was permissible to specifically include methamphetamine laboratory cleanup? And if we state that conceptually, I'm sure that legislative council knows what we mean and can make it consistent with language that's elsewhere in ORS.
Madam Chair, if subsection C, if it was the intent of this committee to make clear that a local jurisdiction could spend forfeiture proceeds on meth lab cleanup, then one, I think, would want to amend or add that to the list of things, the permissive uses for which a local jurisdiction could spend forfeiture money. And if it were added as a permissive use as opposed to a mandated expenditure, then I think we have the strongest possible argument that we can continue to participate in federal equitable sharing in appropriate cases.
Is there a similar list for a city, or do we just find that in Section D if the political subdivision is not a county?
I believe it's in subsection D,
Yeah. And
there's no similar restriction on the purposes for which cities may expend these, cities may expend these monies. Madam Chair, I hate to keep saying to the committee that the Attorney General hasn't taken a position on all these interesting issues, but the committee will recognize that the interests of state law enforcement agencies are not directly impacted by Section 10 of this bill. And we've tried to be very careful to leave the determinations of expenditures of money under Section 10 and all the adjustments of that to the local jurisdictions, because their circumstances vary differently, radically, than those of the state law enforcement agencies. So I hope the committee accept my comments on this section as a technical suggestion and not necessarily as a position that the Attorney General would like to see the committee adopt.
It appeared in front of me. Mr. Shepherd, I'm just kind of looking around trying to figure out.
I didn't do it, Representative Bauman.
No, not this time. I have another one that's floating over there, though.
I have further comments.
Madam Chair, only with respect to Representative Minnis's inquiry as to the governor's position, we have met with the governor. The Attorney General has met with the governor personally on this, on the question of the -9 amendments. The governor has no opposition to the -9 amendments. And the Attorney General is strongly supportive of the -9 amendments and urges, in fact, that the committee pass this bill out this afternoon for consideration by the full committee.
Yes,
Representative Minnis.
The subsection C of section 10, C on line 19, actually 21, 22, it says that the proceeds shall be used for criminal justice services, and it goes on to say drug treatment and drug education programs. Now, the question is, if the county failed to provide or pay for out of those funds, all of those things are enumerated in that subsection C, are they violating the law?
Madam Chair, Representative Minnis, there are others who were more intimately involved in the drafting of this subsection than I, but my reading of this subsection is that those are permissive uses. A local jurisdiction may, if they wanted to, take 100% of the money that flows to them under that section and spend it on drug education programs. But they could also take 100% of that money. A different jurisdiction may choose to take 100% and spend it on exclusively on police services. This section was drafted in part to allow the local jurisdiction that flexibility. I think that the shall is intended, Representative Minutes, to limit the expenditure of these monies to the category of criminal justice services, including the alternatives that are listed in that section, rather than to require the jurisdiction to spend a little bit of each dollar on each of those purposes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shepherd. Are there other questions?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have a motion to pass the dash 9 amendments, or to add the dash 9 amendments with the addition of the language that we've been given to fill in the blanks on pages 21 and page 23, the Oregon State Police account in the general fund. And we have, yes, go ahead, come on up, Paul. The Association of Oregon Counties has something to add here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Very briefly, Paul Snyder representing the Association of Oregon Counties. Mr. Shepherd's response to Representative Menace's question is exactly right. Those amendments were drafted by Association of Oregon Counties, and that was the intent.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition? The motion is adopted. I would like to propose this amendment, which has just arrived in front of you. It's labeled dash 6. I think that's a little bit confusing. We might call it, we might change that and just refer to this as the April 17, 1988 amendment. It reads on page 20 of the proposed amendments, after line 9, insert a new sub F. Notwithstanding subsection C and D above, proceeds may also be used for the payment of expenses associated with removal of toxic substances being manufactured at sites where prohibited conduct has occurred.
Chair.
Representative Mannix.
I think that they mean to put it in now on page 19 of the dash 9 amendments. And perhaps those who authored this could correct me, but they may have been looking at another set of amendments when they talked about page 20. Looks to me like, maybe I'm wrong here, I'm sorry.
No, I think you're, actually, you may be wrong.
No, I see it fitting in on
I see where it fits
line
here,
9, all right, after line 9. I understand now, thank you.
Yes, Representative Clark.
Fit with your question about whether or not the existing bill would in fact allow local governments to use proceeds to pay for.
Well, the suggestion, when I asked Mr. Shepherd, his suggestion was that we specifically include language that refers to methamphetamine laboratory cleanup costs, which is here the removal of toxic substances language in this amendment. His suggestion was that we include it in the laundry list of subsection C, which is refers to counties, and that's between lines 19 and 22 on page 9. But it left open the question of what would be the justification for a city to spend funds which go into the city general fund on the removal of toxic substances. I think what this proposed amendment does makes it clear that notwithstanding, I've always hated the word, by the way, notwithstanding in a statute. It always leads to confusion.
It translated for me one time as meaning we don't care about. Okay, that's what
it's
it means.
Here's the deal.
We don't care about that. What we're saying is this. Okay.
Madam Chair?
I think it accomplishes the same thing, Representative Clark. And it's so much tidier. Representative Mannix?
I think that this is fine, and I support this amendment. I think that's an open-ended amendment. It means that you can use DEQ, but you could also contract with private organizations to do the cleanup, and I wanted to state that on the record because I'll be providing or proposing another amendment that talks to DEQ participation, but that's more narrowly drawn, and this would say anybody could arrange for DEQ to come in and help clean up and then pay those expenses as part of the proceeds. So I support the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. Is there any opposition to the amendment? The motion is adopted. This is the April 17, 1988 amendment that goes in on page 20. Representative Mannix, do you want to move yours?
Thank you. I have what I wrote in the right-hand corner at the top as the Mannix Amendments, 41789. Actually, I received these from the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office and then worked them over a little bit with the assistance of Mr. Shepard. This is a photocopy sheet that everyone should have with a little bit of handwriting on it, or more than a little bit of handwriting on it. I move the Mannix Amendments with one additional change. In the second part, where it talks about in cases in which the Department of Environmental Quality participates in environmental cleanup, I'd like to add the phrase, the forfeiting agency may direct that title to forfeited real property shall pass. So the phrase to be inserted.
They're real bad ones, right?
Pardon? That's right. The forfeiting agency may direct that title shall pass. May I explain the motion?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you.
To your motion.
Part one will allow the DEQ to participate in the allocation of costs if they participate in the environmental cleanup. It doesn't require that they do so, but it says if they do so, they can get in on the allocation of costs, and then it allows pro rata share if costs can't be fully paid for any group. And the second part basically does allow for the situation where the property is of such concern that DEQ will be given the title so that they can take care of any further dealings in terms of that property. But at Mr. Shepard's recommendation, it says the forfeiting agency may direct the title shall pass because he felt that it was important to make it discretionary rather than mandatory.
Have you discussed this with Fred Hansen or with anyone in the Department of Environmental Quality?
No, I have not. This came from our earlier sessions where the proposal had come up that DEQ get the title to property in those circumstances so that they could review the sanitizing of the property and to avoid any cloud on title, let them deal with whether or not they wanted to pass on the property. And I'd be open to an amendment that says DEQ has to accept the title or that they have to agree to have it passed.
Well, Mannix, I guess, again, we're sort of dealing with tinkering around with people's motivation to do good work. And we already kind of tinkered around with the motivation of local government to do good work in terms of applying some of their proceeds from forfeiture to clean up contaminated sites. Now we're going to completely remove the motivation of a local government recipient to forfeit your proceeds to do good work. On the one hand, the entire dirty business to the general fund. And Representative Minnis and Representative Clark and I all serve on the Housing Committee, and we've had the opportunity to horrible this time than it was last session, actually. State-owned properties due to the budget of the agency that's responsible for them. I'm a little bit concerned about selecting out a certain group of property in terms of the liability of the property.
Madam Chair?
And making them state-owned exclusively.
I only proposed this amendment because I thought I was taking care of some concerns that you had, and if I'm not, I withdraw
that.
The amendment.
I still have the concern. I'm a little bit concerned that once this is no longer a local problem and it's a state problem, that any motivation that we create by making it permissive for local governments to apply proceeds from forfeiture to remove toxic substance contamination will be completely gone. I don't want to impugn the motives of our friends from local government, but I think that they have other things to spend their money on. They'd probably be just delighted to sign this over to DEQ.
Well, if there's no objection, I withdraw the amendment.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The amendment is withdrawn. There is another amendment here which appeared on our list of 15. At section 4, and the committee already considered it. We discussed it briefly today as the banker's amendment. It inserts, after line 23 of the original House bill, and I have no idea where we are in our... I suppose we have to do this conceptually if we are cross-referencing original and the dash 9.
Madam Chair?
This inserts where the person's driving privileges were suspended or revoked as a result of conviction for driving under the influence of intoxicants into 2282. Representative Mannix.
I believe the cross-reference still ties in with the original bill, and it might have to be adjusted in terms of the amendments, but it does tie in with the original bill. And if people still have that number 4 amendment in front of them, that's only the second part of it, and to move things along, I move that second amendment. On page 3 in line 19, after violate, insert sub A, and creates two subsections to that section. And then in line 23, after, is that Morrissey, I think, delete the period and insert a semicolon or, and after line 23, insert a subsection B, ORS 811.175 or 811.182, where the person's driving privileges were suspended or revoked as a result of conviction for driving under the influence of intoxicants.
Thank you, Representative Mannix. That's exactly what I had in mind.
That fit in the dash 9 amendment. Maybe council has an idea for that one.
That's sort of the question of the hour. I don't think we have to do that. I think legislative council will do that for us.
I'm just wondering if the sub A on that amendment is necessary part of sub B, which deals with driving privileges.
I believe not.
I think you're dealing with the marijuana issue when you get into sub A. I think you only need sub B.
I have no problem with legislative counsel playing around with the format of this.
It's prohibited conduct. I think what we're looking at is amending the prohibited conduct portion of the original bill, which is on page 5, line. Let's see, I'm up on line 6. Council, can you help us?
Madam Chair, I don't have my copy of the amendment in front of me, but it would seem that what we're doing is we're stating this. This particular conduct is prohibited conduct. Thus, we would have two kinds of conduct that would be encompassed within the state statute. Conduct relating to drugs, and then conduct relating, I believe, to with DWS. So thus, for those provisions, you'd have a state statute. For other provisions that are not included in here, local counties could, by ordinance, adopt other provisions, but they would be subject to the procedures as it relates particularly to property interest.
Madam Chair, I guess I need counsel to go through that again.
Sure. Madam Chair, if I could.
Go ahead, counsel.
What we're saying is that for this bill, if it is not amended, we're having one particular activity that would be covered under state statute. That would be illegal activity for drugs. Thus, you would have a state statute for that. For other provisions, say provisions related to other activity, we have other sections in the bill which would allow the counties to adopt ordinances. There's no preemption on those other areas. As it relates to drugs, there is a preemption. So it would allow them to adopt ordinances that relate to those other offenses. For example, at our last meeting, we removed prostitution and gambling. If...
Removing from state preemption.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct. By removing it from the bill, we now allow the counties on their own to adopt ordinances which would cover those particular activities. I believe by putting this amendment back in for DWS, you would now have a state statute.
DWS?
Isn't this what we're now proposing to move in? We would now have it within the state statute. It would preempt local ordinances. Thus, there would be a state statute that would govern, and it would govern all the way through, not just for the falling of the property interest. What it basically would do away would be the local option. In other words, this would apply statewide, regardless of whether the county or city adopted an ordinance.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mannix.
In terms of placement, the description on the sheet shows where it would be placed in the original bill. In terms, as you noted, on the amended or the -9 amendments, it would fit in on page 5, line 1, where it talks about, begins on page 4, prohibited conduct includes violation of, solicitation to violate, attempt to violate, or conspiracy to violate. Then you would have sub A, any provisions of ORS, chapter 475, et cetera. And then sub B would be the language we have right now, which is ORS 811.175 or 811.182. And that's all consistent with counsel's explanation of what the bill would do as amended.
Yeah, I guess I have one other question, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Clark.
If I'm dense today, I apologize. Didn't we hear from Judge Keyes that in his view it would be extremely costly for the state to have 2282 procedures and driving while suspended?
Yes, that was Judge Keyes' testimony. There's testimony, we've got testimony from Mr. Sherman that it's going to be costly to use forfeiture for motor vehicles, period. But yes, I recall that. Yeah. Representative Baum.
Now that we're to this stage and talking about amending 2282, ask Judge Keyes for a 2-minute explanation of why he feels it's not appropriate to include this.
Sure. Judge Keyes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee. I disagree with Mr. Sherman in some of his analysis about what this bill is going to do and why. For instance, it's not going to end up in arbitration for all kinds of reasons that are going to take more than 2 minutes to explain. I am convinced the procedures involved in 3371 will end up being significantly faster to resolve contested hearings than the procedure in 2282. If you include storage costs as a factor for the state to consider, I just don't want to see the state burdened with the extra storage costs. I've spent a great deal of time getting this bill to this stage, but quite honestly, in interests of economy for the state, I'd rather have nothing than this bill in 2282, especially if it was mandatory, which is what we had in mind. If you make it discretionary for some driving while suspended statutes and then exempt local jurisdictions, I think what you're going to have is some additional problems. So I have a lot of interest in seeing this problem attacked. I don't think 2282 is the way to do it, simply because it takes so much longer than the -10 amendments. Now, I can answer questions, but that's really it. It's just going to take longer.
If I could, to the motion, the trying to figure out a way to cover the waterfront here. Council, I think, has stated it really clearly, and part of the concern here is if we're going to have a procedure, and I think the record is clear from last time that we voted down this amendment at our last meeting to specifically include DWS, not because we didn't want to include DWS, but because it was the understanding we had just excluded prostitution and gambling, and it was our understanding that the laundry basket language that we had adopted in the bill already in 2282 would make it possible for local jurisdictions to use forfeiture as a tool, and that the procedure they would use would be the procedure outlined in 2282.
For areas other than drugs. Is that what you're saying?
The understanding was that this would be for any area. That's correct.
That's right. And if local jurisdictions are limited to using 2282 procedures, they may. I guess they might do it on one or two, but I wouldn't hold my breath that they're going to do it on a lot of suspended ops.
And again, the reason they would not is because the cost to the local government
is too expensive.
Is too high.
To do 2282 procedures.
Where, Judge Keyes, let me stick with you on this one. Explain to me again. Now I'm the one who's going to be dense. I have permission from Representative Clark. Could you show me where it is in 2282 that we add the prohibitive expense? Is it in the jury trial requirement that keeps the property impounded?
Things. Number one, you have regular service of process. As you know, Madam Chair, regular service of process can take between 30 days and 6 months. After that, and I'm talking
and
about
the
a
contrast is that 3371 or the dash 10s use mail. Surface mail by the police agency and registered mail from DMV.
Yes.
Okay. That's one.
Next. The pleading stages of any civil lawsuit, if it is set up in a jury trial, take anywhere between 30 days and 6 months. I doubt in many of these it would take 6 months, because even the normal, but let's say it took 60 days for the typical pleadings to go back and forth of complaint, answer, and reply. Our pleading stages is the request for a hearing, which I contemplate having a checklist on the DMV form saying I'd like a hearing on the following issues, and I'd like it to either be, and by the way, Mr. Sherman is correct. Right now we're talking about two hearings, but I indicated that DMV has an amendment in Legislative Council now with Legislative Council submitted today, which is going to give people an option of a hearing or a jury trial. Take your pick, which will again speed our process up. The next stage is the wait for a trial date. And what I've said is that we're going to have an expedited jury trial date assigned in district court, the same as you do on an FED, within 21 days. Now, there's no court in no county that I'm aware of that's going to give anybody a jury trial within 21 days of the day that the case is at issue. So on those three stages of the proceedings, this is a substantially more expedited procedure, even if it's a jury trial.
Judge Keyes, let me ask you this. Let me remind the committee. I have committed myself now three times to obtain a hearing date on 3371. If this bill passes with DWS included, does that hurt anything if we also have 3371?
So why don't you delete it from
the other question is,
sorry,
if the bill passes and 3371 doesn't, are we, in your opinion, in worse shape for having specifically allowed and encouraged local jurisdictions to use forfeiture for drunk drivers and drivers who are suspended because they were convicted of driving under the influence of intoxicants?
No. You're not.
That's really the question here.
I don't think they're going to do it very often, but no.
I appreciate that. So this is good. It's not the best. And I have, again...
Fine. Sure.
Promised a hearing. Great. Okay. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
We need to take a... Well, what do we have? Do we need to take a vote on this amendment? Is there any objection to including DWS in 2282? I appreciate that. Representative Baum, I'm offering you a whole hearing on a whole bill, and you're telling me you won't even vote for a little bitty amendment.